MS Fitness Challenge Podcast, your source for the best, most inspiring, and up-to-date information concerning all things related to MS Fitness and health. This is Stephen Gloss, your host, an MS Warrior trainer and fitness advocate. The MS Fitness Challenge provides guidance and support to people with MS and fitness professionals worldwide in an effort to educate and train them in the benefits of exercise, nutrition, and mindset. Together, we can win the battle against multiple sclerosis. This is episode number 3. Today's special guest is the MS Fitness Challenge Director of Nutrition. She's an inspiring dietitian and personal trainer who empowers people with MS to take control of their health by addressing the most important dimensions of their holistic health. Her one-of-a-kind transformational wellness approach has brought consistency and clarity to the lifestyle of many MS warriors. David Lyons has been partnered with her for the last 7 years with a shared passion for a lifestyle of exercise, nutrition, and mindset and conquering this disease. She is an accomplished speaker and educator and was a key nutrition contributor to David's book, Everyday Health and Fitness with Multiple Sclerosis. The MS Fitness Challenge Podcast would like to introduce Monica Pelli to the show. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you, Stephen. I'm excited to be here.
No, it's fantastic. It's such a humble opportunity for me to really dive in deep and get a broad overview and a sense of how people with MS can take control of this disease through your wellness approaches. So before we get diving into all of that, what was the initial spark that sent you off towards a career and a passion for diet and nutrition?
You know, I really have to give credit to my parents on this one. I was born in the 70s. They were very into holistic health and nutrition. So my entire childhood and upbringing was one of healthy food, family meals, you know, eating from my mom's garden. And, you know, it made such an impact. My mom said when I was 3, I was asking her if things had chemicals in them. So they really made an impact on my lifestyle that I really believed in and valued. And then first semester in college, I took a nutrition class. And from there forward, that was about 20 years ago, this has been the path for me.
So you sort of knew, like, even early on as a child that you didn't know exactly what it would look like, but you wanted a career in this.
Exactly.
That's really cool. Well, with that passion and that upbringing, was there ever a point maybe in your life where you didn't eat healthy?
You know, the times in my life where I've eaten the least healthy have been times of transition. And what I mean by that, I've lived in a few different areas. Like after becoming a registered dietitian, I moved straight to Hawaii and worked there for a couple years. I got a job there. And transitioning to different cultures and eating different foods was the time I really, you know, broke my rhythm and got less healthy. I lived in Mexico for 6 months doing volunteer work down there and just kind of ate locally in the beginning and then cleaned things up when I got back home. So there's been some times where I've transitioned into other cultures that it's been harder for me to eat healthy and to maintain certain consistencies.
Yeah, I'm really glad you brought that point of transition up because people with MS, it's not a environmental transition that you make when you get diagnosed, but it is a big life transition. So we'll get more into that later. But what motivated you to want to get in front of audiences and share your insights and encourage good health and healthy eating habits in front of lots of people?
Good question. So, you know, when I started my career from the jump, I started teaching group classes. You know, it was always part of my job responsibility. And then when I went off on my own independently, public speaking is always something I've had on a consistent basis because I love group synergy. I love group energy. And within every single group, just like, you know, when we were together in Boise for our first MS Fitness Challenge training camp last September, it is so awesome to see people in person interacting with each other and not only sharing my expertise, but more importantly, there's that group IQ while the information is happening. So having very interactive group education really lights me up. And then I always have individual clients too, but that dynamic of people of like-minded goals getting together, there is a uniqueness about that that is special.
Yeah, I could definitely relate to that. And people will get into this again and sort of emphasize it towards the end, but we have that
fitness training camp that's coming up in Los Angeles at the end of April, beginning of May, that's the place to be where you can experience that sort of synergistic group mindset.
Yes.
So how did you first get involved with David Lyons? Did you have any significant experience or knowledge about MS prior to getting involved with the MS Fitness Challenge?
Yeah, you know, he contacted me about 8 years ago to be a dietitian in a video he was cutting for his training with MS. So he actually called me, and that's how we met. And during that video, when we were cutting the video, David's wife, Kendra, was there as well. And I just really connected with them as a couple and just had a lot of respect for what they were doing in the MS field and with David's health. And then, you know, kind of recently after that, we reconnected and he had me contribute to his book, Everyday Health and Fitness with MS, for the nutrition component. And so prior to connecting with David, I had zero experience with MS particularly. You know, I had other autoimmune experience and years of experience of working with people as a dietitian, but not, I hadn't specialized in that niche yet.
That's really interesting. So after you met David, did you have to sort of school yourself up, or how did that transition?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, over the past 8 years, I have done a lot of education, you know, and on MS specifically. But it, honestly, until the last year where I started seeing one-on-one clients, mostly remotely, because a lot of the people from the MS Fitness Challenge that I connect with and they become individual clients, they're all over the United States. So we use video conference tool. And so I've had to do a lot of additional education and just getting to know, you know, on an individual level, because with MS, the symptoms are so dramatically different from person to person. So as a health professional, it's a, you know, it's an exciting and unique challenge to help, you know, these, you know, how they call people with MS, like the snowflake, you know, disease, how everybody is a little different and sometimes dramatically different. So it's been an exciting chapter of my career and my personal and professional development to be able to serve people with MS.
That's really exciting. Everyone out there, they read the information that's out there. They see the commercials, the images, all of it. Everyone knows that diet and nutrition are critical components to living a healthy lifestyle. What makes that message even more crucial for people living with an autoimmune disease like MS?
Great question, Stephen. And anytime someone has an autoimmune disease, their body's under attack from within. And so we need to be extra careful on how we treat our body with nutrition and other lifestyle choices, because there's already a battle going on. And so with MS, just like every autoimmune disease, there was a trigger. There was an initial trigger that really pushed things over the edge into MS. And that trigger, part of those triggers can be nutritional. You know, there's a host of different triggers for autoimmune disease, and sometimes they're in a cluster. You know, there's multiple things that have been out of balance. But the nutritional component, a lot of people with MS have low vitamin D. You know, that's a piece of nutrition. Or they may be having a diet that's very inflammatory. Or if you do any research, if you guys just go online and look up MS and the microbiome, there's a lot of research to show that the gut microbiome, which is all those trillions of microbes living in your gut, has a huge correlation with MS. So what we're eating, what we're drinking, how we're living, the choices we're making every day affect what microbes live and what microbes die. So we have a lot of control over our daily choices on the progression of disease. So to me, you know, those daily choices are huge in basically the path of the disease progression.
Yeah, I like that one statement you made, that it's all about control. With MS, you lose control of a lot of things. But with diet, it's one thing you can control, and that gives us a lot of hope and encouragement.
Exactly. And I always, one of my favorite statements to say is, control the controllables. Because there are many things in our life we can't control. But fortunately, there are also many things in our life that we can control. And like you're saying, once we have, you know, a little education, a little idea of how to make better choices, we can control those choices, you know? And one thing I'd really like the audience to understand as they're making food choices, and that there's two main things to always keep in mind, is inflammation all disease comes with inflammation. Inflammatory pathways are lit up. So what you're eating, what you're drinking, even what you're thinking determines the impact on inflammation in your body. And then that gut microbiome. So how are you affecting those microbes by your food choices? And so that no matter who we are or, you know, what we have going on, what level of disease we have, whether we're inflaming our body more or putting the fire out, because inflammation is really fires in our body, or whether we're feeding the right microbes or whether we're proliferating the harmful microbes, is something we always have to be mindful of.
Right. So with that, we don't have hours and hours to go over all the nuances of what constitutes a healthy MS diet, but could you at least give us maybe a basic breakdown? Is there maybe a one-size-fits-all approach to nutrition when living with MS that everybody can follow?
Unfortunately, the answer to that is no, as far as there's not a one-size-fits-all nutritionally for anyone. And we all have to crack our unique code. Fortunately, there's a lot of commonalities for us. So, you know, in the area of behavior change and nutrition, there's always additive behaviors or foods and subtractive behaviors and foods. So things we want to add in that are, you know, very common, a focus on whole foods that are very nutrient dense, anti-inflammatory foods and beverages. So what is anti-inflammatory for me might be inflammatory for you, Stephen. And that's where that unique cracking of the code comes in. I'll give you an example of that. Quinoa. You know, quinoa can be an amazing health food for a lot of people. I personally tolerate quinoa great, but I have clients that it tears their stomach up. They can't eat it. So there's that. Just because a food is healthy doesn't mean it's a healthy food for everyone. So looking for those anti-inflammatory foods and beverages for you, consuming foods that are healthy for the gut. And that includes high fiber foods. There's a lot of microbes in our colon that love to feed on fiber. So vegetables, predominantly organic. Our body loves vegetables. We can't get around that. None of us can sidestep those nutrient dense vegetables. And, you know, and some people are like, it's so expensive to eat healthy. Well, you can go online. There's foods that are worth your organic dollars and foods that may not be worth your organic dollars. So I like to look at the Dirty Dozen and the Clean 15. That's an easy Google search. And focus on healthy fats, importance of vitamin D and other micronutrients like magnesium. So those are the additives. So what are some of the subtractives that literally none of us will do well with? Refined sugars and even high volumes of natural sugars are going to be inflammatory. So limiting those natural sugars, eliminating refined carbs, limiting caffeine and alcohol. Dairy is a very common culprit for people with MS. So dairy is really never recommended for people with MS. Many people are needing to be gluten-free. And sometimes when they want to have huge gains, even grain free. So that's an option for some people, avoiding processed fats like corn oil, safflower oil, you know, fried foods. And then those processed meats are a big thing. So things with nitrates and chemical preservatives. And then I have even met several people with MS using synthetic sweeteners like aspartame and, you know, other like Splenda and things like that, that have a neurotoxic effect. So those are going to be some of the subtractives. So just always think in additives and subtractives. And another thing I just want to point out quickly is listening to your body, because there is symptoms that we get of food intolerances or inflammation. For instance, if you eat a food and you're clearing your throat or coughing, or, you know, you have sinus mucus going on pretty quickly after that, that is a sign you just got inflammation in your body.
Interesting.
Yes. And I've worked with people that, you know, once we clean up their diet and they're not coughing after each meal, or they're not having, you know, postnasal drip or sinus drip after each meal, they're like, I thought that was just normal. And they didn't know their body could do differently with better food. So listening for that body wisdom and those signs and symptoms of food intolerance are important for us all.
I like how you liken it to cracking a code.
Yes.
I've only been diagnosed with MS for, I say only, it's felt like eternity, but it's only been about a year and a half now. And I still feel like week after week, I'm still cracking that code, trying to figure out what those additives and subtractives are for me.
And that makes sense. It is a process, and it's a process that takes patience. And you know, mindfulness. And so sometimes when people are going through that process of cracking the code, sometimes working with a professional works, you know, sometimes being, you know, keeping logs and food records and seeing what works, what, you know, doesn't work. And then I'll mention later just some other holistic issues that could be getting in the way, even if you're having a healthy diet.
Right. So if you had to sort of sum that up into designing a framework by which people can succeed, when it comes to MS, the diet and nutrition, what are the keys to success?
You know, in the world of wellness, consistency is king. So starting behaviors, doing them consistently, even as you tweak and crack the code, being as consistent as possible, which is a challenge with MS sometimes when there's flare-ups or setbacks or high stress times. That consistency, just falling back to the most basic self-care, even when things, you know, when everything seems to be against you and challenging, sticking to the basic self-care, how you're feeding yourself, how you're moving, you know, how you're sleeping, the basic self-care will keep this momentum possible, even if there are setbacks, which there will be for all of us. So I like to tell people progress, not perfection, because if you're going for perfection, you'll never succeed. So we're just trying to have forward momentum with our healthcare, with our self-care, and not perfection.
Yeah. On that point of perfection, like you said, no one is perfect. So when it comes to food, we're all going to have those moments where maybe we have that cheat meal, you know, here and there. How should we react when we stumble and mess up our diets? How can we cope with that failure?
Yeah. And I honestly don't even look at it as a failure. And, you know, I look at it as just being human. So there are going to be treats. There are going to be special occasions, and moving forward as quickly as possible, because from person to person, the biggest difference of who succeeds and who does, you know, have serious health setbacks is timing. So if somebody has a special occasion, they have a special meal that lasts a day, that lasts for a meal, no big deal, you know. But if somebody gets bounced out and they can't negotiate the gray zone, it all has to be black or white, perfect or nothing, and they're bounced out for a week, 2 weeks, 10 months, you know, we're all bounced out on a healthy behavior right now. And actually, even, you know, baked into the model of behavior change is relapse. So relapse is the fifth stage of any behavior change. But the relapse timing could be a meal, could be a day. But I've worked with people that relapse is, you know, years. They got bounced out and they never got back into the self-care. So, yeah. So it's the timing factor. And when you do have treats, enjoy those treats, you know, like push the guilt to the side, but really be present and taste. And, you know, there's an expression, nourish the cells and nourish the soul. So we're looking for high nutrition, high quality food, but then you got to nourish the soul too. And part of that is, you know, having occasional celebrations and treats.
I'm really relieved to hear you say that, because I'm just going to be frank with you. I've been turned off to a lot of dietitians and just in the past, because a lot of people I've talked to haven't allowed that leeway, that room for grace, for just self-compassion. I think that's really important.
And it is. And I see the people that are good at negotiating the gray zone, really make this a lifestyle. They're successful for the long term. And that's what we're looking for. We're looking for long-term skills you can weave into the fabric of your lifestyle and be happy about and really still enjoy life.
So on the topic of lifestyles, jumping all into a dramatic lifestyle change, that can seem like a daunting and even impossible task for a lot of people. What would you say to the person that maybe feels like they just don't have the discipline or they don't have the mental strength to make such a drastic change in their life?
And I would say, Stephen, that the majority of people feel that way. So Even if they're motivated, that oomph, that, you know, getting it rolling, first of all, knowing that there's two types of changes, there's micro movements and there's quantum leaps. So a quantum leap would be, hey, I have MS, or hey, I just had a flare up. I'm sick of feeling this way. I am going to get super structured with my diet and really crack the code. And some people do that. You know, Some people, like, let's say they take on the Walls protocol, or they do, you know, the autoimmune protocol, or, you know, they really get on a structured plan. That's a quantum leap. But Then a lot of people do well with micro movements where, you know, maybe they start blending a super green smoothie a day, or maybe they start to really, you know, look at increasing the vegetables that they do per day, or shifting out the quality of the protein they're eating. That's a micro movement. And I will tell you that I do see the law of attraction with micro movements. Once you get a mastery over one thing, organically, automatically, you will have what it takes to go to the next step. And it's just the law of attraction. You attract a healthy behavior, and that healthy behavior will attract another healthy behavior.
Yeah, I think I made a big mistake when I was first diagnosed, is I was trying to make quantum leap after quantum leap with my diet. I told this story at the last training camp in Boise, but I think maybe 3 days after I got diagnosed and started digging into just, you know, all the resources available online about MSM diets, I ran to the grocery store, went to Costco and bought a giant, like, 5-pound bag of broccoli. And I was just sitting there on the couch just eating raw broccoli for – that was almost my entire diet, because I was so desperate to feel better. I just wanted to do anything to get rid of my symptoms. But that's not how it works, and I would not advise doing that.
And then you probably had a – big old stomach ache after that, you know, it's like,
I got sick of broccoli very quickly.
And another thing I'll say is, you know, I work with people one-on-one, and all of them are overwhelmed when we start working together. So if you want to partner with a professional, you guys can contact me. You can find your own health professional. Sometimes it's worth investing in that support,
right,
to really take the chaos out of it and just get, you know, super clear and confident on next steps. And then we also know that having community is important for people embarking on a lifestyle change. So we have the MS Fitness Challenge, you know, Facebook community. We have in-person training camps that we do. Find a community. Sometimes it's even having a friend, you know, somebody that's going to embark on these changes with you, so that it's not a solo journey. Talk about what your goals are with your loved ones and get the help you need.
Yeah, just like the National MS Society states, we're stronger together. That rings true in every aspect of life.
Absolutely.
So let's say you're doing these micro movements and you're starting to gain success, you're getting traction. But what if after all of this, people feel like they're not getting the results they were hoping for, even after integrating all these different types of strategies for maybe even an extended period of time? Should they just keep maybe waiting and hoping that they'll feel the change eventually? Or is it okay to adjust and tweak things as you go to see if some changes are effective?
Yeah, the tweaking and changing is important. And I'll give you a basic rule, a general rule of timing. If you're not feeling better within a week to 4 weeks of a certain nutritional plan, you know, especially by the fourth week, because it takes about 30 days for cells to turn over. So if you're starting a new supplement, if you're, you know, starting a new diet regimen, sometimes it takes a month for things to turn over and shift in our body. But if you're not feeling better by that handful of weeks, something needs to change. But here's the deal. You could be on the right nutritional path, but there could be something else getting in the way. Like, you know, we're going to address toxic load briefly today. If you have a highly toxic life and your system's all irritated and you're not sleeping well and all this stuff, that's not going to really shine the light on, you know, because that's going to interfere with inflammation. That's going to interfere with the microbiome. It's not going to really give a true picture if your nutrition shift was really great for you or not, if there's other barriers getting in the way. But with nutrition, you should feel something. You should feel better in some way or another within 1 to 4 weeks.
So you have that wealth of knowledge related to toxins in our bodies and how to get rid of them. As I stated previously, we don't have enough time on today's show to do a really deep dive into detox diets and lifestyle habits conducive to cleansing our bodies. But could you give us some of the key concepts you want listeners to come away with that will help them find success in this arena?
Yes. You know, just remember this to start with. You could have the healthiest diet possible, but if you have a highly toxic life, there's no way you can reach optimal health. And some of the easy shifts with toxic load are what you're doing with your laundry. Almost every MS client I start with has a mountain of toxins in their life. You know, toxic laundry detergent. They're using a lot of plastics. They're using highly chemical laden deodorants. You know, things like that. They're using a lot of air fresheners and fragrances in their home. Those are easy swaps. I mean, we're talking not a lot of energy, not a lot of effort to get that level of toxic load out of your life. And what I say with toxic load too is pick your poison. A lot of the people I work with MS are women, and they love to have their hair dyed. They love to do their nails. And so I say pick your poison. If if one of my clients with MS, she works in a law firm and she's pointing at legal documents a lot with clients. And so she told me, I'm not going to stop doing my nails. You know, I'm going to keep that going, but then shift a bunch of other things. So she changed a lot of other things and would mindfully, you know, take when she'd get her nails done, certain essential oils that were gentle cleansing on the system, really get well hydrated and do a couple other things to offset. You're never going to perfectly offset toxic load, but there's things we can do to help open up those pathways, those detox pathways in our body, and to get some things out. And one other thing I'll say really quick is there's something called digital toxicity. So if you're looking at your phone or a screen, you know, before bed, you're getting that blue light. I have clients that they're checking their phone in the middle of the night. I mean, that is called digital toxicity. So it's not just the actual chemicals that are interfering, but also the digital piece. So the more we can get away from screen time, let our nervous systems relax and reload, so to speak.
Right.
Those are some forms of toxicity.
Yeah, we've only been talking for about 25 minutes, but I'm sure our listeners can tell that there is a lot that goes into this. There's a lot of information out there that can really be useful as a resource to figuring all or to cracking this code. We did a lot of that last year in Boise, Idaho. We spent a good amount of time talking about detox diets, talking about MS diets, and all of the strategies for success. Why would you personally recommend the upcoming training camp in Los Angeles this May? What can people expect to take away from the experience when it comes to healthy living and improving their diet?
Yeah, great question. So at the training camp, the best of the best is going to be there to support, encourage, educate, and most importantly, empower people with MS to walk away and weave these things into the fabric of their lifestyle. Because education is great, you know, it's okay, but it doesn't change lives. So I always tell people, information to application leads to the transformation.
Oh,
so our team is keenly interested in transforming the lives, taking that information to application so that they can walk away and have an empowered transformation in their lifestyle. The people are fun. It's so great to laugh and, you know, have a good time together. They'll meet people that they can connect with for the long term. And it's just going to be a really engaging community that's going to have the best of the best education for them.
Yeah, I think my fondest memory is that even though we were there, it was an MS conference per se. It was almost like an escape from reality that we didn't have MS, that MS wasn't necessarily that awful of a thing to be going through. It was really, really unique.
Yeah, it was. It was this high vibrational experience. I mean, it was this little bubble of just a bunch of love and optimism and encouragement.
So how do you relate to people with MS? Because you don't have MS yourself. What has being exposed to people within the MS Fitness Challenge community taught you about yourself and others?
You know, people with MS are just normal people. And a lot of them are that I engage with one-on-one. They're rock stars. You know, they're super moms, super dads, you know, wonderful people that just have a lot going on, and their own personal self-care is not always their top priority. So that has been such a pleasure to connect with people on a very personal level and help them put their own self-care towards the top of the list so that they can be there for the people that they love the way they want to be. And, you know, and as we said at the offset, it has been a great chapter of my career to specialize in MS and learn a lot about the disease and how to help people live their best life possible.
Amazing. And I really just want to say before we close out here that I really admire and appreciate all the effort and work that you're putting into this community, into this group, and just the difference that you're making it's evident just by the testimonies that you've given today. I really appreciate that.
Thank you, Stephen. It's my pleasure.
So before we do close out, though, I want to ask you one thing that maybe will help listeners focus throughout the rest of the week. What is one challenge you can give our listeners today? Something that they can stay focused on for maybe just today, the next week, the next month, or any period of time that will help them improve their health.
Okay. So as we said before, in nutrition, there's additives and subtractives. So I want to challenge the audience, put in one healthy thing, one healthy food or beverage, one additive, and one subtractive that you are doing consistently, that you know is interfering with your best health. So one additive that can optimize your health and take one thing out that you know is being a barrier. And then with the toxic load, you may have heard something today that's in your environment, that's coming into your body on a regular basis, and make a shift with one piece of your toxic load. So micro movements. And then if you want more detailed help in a holistic way, contact me one-on-one and we'll get you the support that you need.
Yeah, and that's, I'm glad you brought that up. I'll make sure we have your contact information, all the resources people need to find success within the MS Fitness Challenge, and information related to the training camp in Los Angeles.
Perfect.
Well, that's going to wrap it up for this episode. Be sure to tune into next week's episode, where I will get the honor and privilege of interviewing David's wife, Kendra Lyons. She's the woman who might very well be the reason the MS Fitness Challenge exists today. You'll get the chance to hear how she motivated David to turn his passion for MS and fitness outward and start helping as many people with MS as possible. Remember, new episodes of the MS Fitness Challenge podcast will be available for download every Saturday on Apple, Google, Spotify, and Simplecast. A great way you can help and support the MS Fitness Challenge is by sharing, rating, and reviewing this podcast. The more people we can reach, the greater the impact we can have. As we close out, remember to check out msfitnesschallenge.com, check out the upcoming training camp in Los Angeles, and dig into all the great resources we have for you. And be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn, and get plugged into that Facebook group we have. The group is as active as ever and will give you the chance to get integrated to a motivating cast of dedicated MS warriors. To all those listening, to all our MS warriors, thank you. Don't give up the fight. Keep pressing, keep striving, and conquer MS.